Concerto for Siren and Serotonin. 7. When Snotman grew ill, Croyd snapped the lock on the door behind him, letting him into the dusty ruin of a small two-room apartment whose owner was obviously using the place to store damaged furniture. He located a threadbare couch on which the glistening Joker sprawled, quivering. He rinsed a jelly jar he found near a basin in the next room and took him a drink of water. Sweeping aside a mess of ancient drug paraphernalia, Croyd seated himself on a small cracked bench as the other sipped. "You been sick?" Croyd asked him.
"No. I always feel like I've got a cold, but this is different. I feel sort of like I did a long time ago, when it all started."
Croyd covered the shivering Joker with a pile of curtains he found in a corner, then seated himself again.
"Finish telling me what happened," Snotman said after a time.
"Oh, yeah." Croyd popped a methamphet and a dex and continued his tale. When Snotman passed out, Croyd did not notice. He kept talking until he realized that Snotman's skin had gone dry. Then he grew still and watched, for the man's features seemed slowly to be rearranging themselves. Even speeded, Croyd was able to spot the onset of a wild card attack. But even speeded, this did not quite make sense. Snotman was already a Joker, and Croyd had never heard of anyone, himself excluded, coming down with it a second time. He shook his head, rose and paced, stepped outside. It was afternoon now, and he was hungry again. It took him a few moments to spot the new shift that had taken over surveillance of his quarters. He decided against disposing of them. The most sensible thing to do, he guessed, would be to go and get a bite to eat, then come back and keep an eye on the now transforming Snotman through his crisis, one way or the other. Then clear out, go deeper underground. In the distance, a siren wailed. Another Red Cross helicopter came and went, low, from the southeast, heading uptown. Memories of that first mad wild card day swam in his head, and Croyd decided that perhaps he'd better acquire a new pad even before he ate. He knew just the sleaze bin, not too far away, where he could get in off the streets and no questions asked, provided they had a vacancy, which was generally the case. He detoured to check it out. Like a mating call, another siren answered the first from the opposite direction. Croyd waved at the man who hung upside down by his feet from a lamppost, but the fellow took offense or grew frightened and flew away. From somewhere, he heard a loudspeaker mentioning his name, probably saying terrible things about him. His fingers tightened on the fender of a parked car. The metal squealed as he pulled at it, tearing a wide strip loose. He turned then, bending it, folding it, blood dripping from a tear in his hand. He would find that speaker and destroy it, whether it was high on a building side or the top of a cop car. He would stop them from talking about him. That would give him away, though, he realized in a moment's clarity, to his enemies, who could be anybody. Anybody except the guy with the wild card virus. And Snotman couldn't be anybody's enemy just now. Croyd hurled the piece of metal across the street, then threw back his head and began to howl. Things were getting complicated again, and nasty. He needed something to calm his nerves. He plunged his bloody hand into his pocket, withdrew a fistful of pills, and gulped them without looking to see what they were. He had to get presentable to go and get a room. He ran his fingers through his hair, brushed off his clothes, began walking at a normal pace. It wasn't far.